come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Oh Lord, as we just get into this right now, Father, into this chapter 12, we're thankful, Lord. We're thankful for what you've shown us in here. We're thankful, Lord, that you have ministered to us even in our study on our own. Lord, that you have had us, you have sat with us during our quiet time, and you have spoken your word to us, Lord. You are faithful, Father. You are faithful when others may not be, Lord. Others will always let us down, and we will let them down. I thank you, Father, for your presence with us right now. I pray, God, that you would touch our lives, Lord. Let me speak the things that are of you. Let me hear your word, Lord. Let me hear your voice. And I want to glorify your name, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. So here we are in chapter 12. It's coming very near to the end of Jesus' time here. He's 6 days away from Passover, it says. He came to Bethany. He was on his way to Jerusalem for Passover. And as he was on his way, there was no room in Jerusalem. And we know that Jesus at this particular point was, in fact, deemed an outlaw, if you will. And for him to go into Jerusalem was a big deal. So he, by law, was okay to stay in Bethany because Bethany was close enough to Jerusalem for them to be able to stay there, and that's where he stayed. And where did he stay? He stayed at the house of Lazarus. Now, we always look at this and we go, Mary and Martha's house, but technically, at this particular time, it would have been Lazarus's house because he was the man of the house. So it would have been Lazarus's house that they went to. And this was the Lazarus that we talked about last week, who was raised from the dead, that Bill also talked about on Easter. And they made, Martha was doing her particular characteristic serving. And I pray that all of us would be Mary's and Martha's at the same time, that we would know how to serve. Martha gave everything that she had to the Lord that she could do. She did all that she could do. She happened to be one who was very good at serving, using her hands. And so at that particular time, she was giving all she had to the Lord at that particular time. And so she cooked for them and she worked with her hands. Her love for Jesus was no less than the love that her sister had. It was no less at all. We don't have anything about what her prayer time was like or her time with Jesus. We don't have that written. But I would guarantee you, by the way that she served Jesus, it wasn't so that everyone else would see how wonderful she was. It was that she wanted Jesus to know that he was loved and that he was cared for and she took care of him. And then we see that Mary loved Jesus, and she showed it in her actions as well. But her actions were a bit different. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, in verse 3, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. I would love to chop this portion of text into three different sections. It is so hard for me to move on from one section to another section to another section in here in chapter 12. But I'm going to do my best to just lightly go over as much as I can, but hit those notes that really need to be hit in this. Because Mary was just the way that her actions were. The first thing that we know about Mary is that she poured out that oil on Jesus' feet. Now, this is not this, as far as I can see from my study, although in this Bible it cross-references Matthew 26:7, I believe, and through all of my study, that the Mary that is in Matthew 26 that anointed Jesus' head with oil is not the same Mary as Mary of Bethany. I believe that it was, number one, it was at this, it's not an account of this particular story. It is in a different account. It's at a different person's house, and it as it is at a different time. So just making that clear. So here she is. She's poured out this vial of oil that she has kept. This is possibly part of her dowry that she has kept and would only be poured out on her husband when she would marry. So here she is. She's pouring it out on the one that she loved as much as you would love a husband, even more so. And she poured it on his feet. There isn't even an indication that she looked up into his face. She was so humble as her hair just fell down. That was another thing. Wow. You know, in public, you would never wear your hair down. It was a sign of an immoral woman for your hair to be let down. And here she was before Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair. You know what happened? John tells us that the house was filled with the fragrance of Jesus. Well, he says the fragrance of the oil filled the whole house. But it was filled with the fragrance of Jesus, because he's got that fragrance on him now. But something else happened. When they left, Jesus still had that same fragrance. And you know who else did? Mary. When Mary left that house, she carried the fragrance of Christ. When we have sat at the feet of Jesus, when we have done things with Jesus, when we have had that quiet time with him, when we have sat before him, do we walk out and carry on that fragrance as we go out the door? Or do we hear something, say we're in church, and we hear, oh, we're standing in church, we're standing in here, we go, oh, that was such a great message. Oh, we enjoyed the worship so much. I just felt the fragrance of the Lord. It was so good. And we walk out the door, and something happens, and we stink. And we don't carry that fragrance out the door. We don't carry that fragrance of Christ on our way out the door. We don't carry it into our own homes because we've left it back here. We've left it in the house, if you will. And we need to be like Mary, that we so touch Jesus that his fragrance becomes a part of who we are. Bethany used to say when her kids were little and I would hold them, there was a particular fragrance that I wore. She would always say, oh, she smells like my mom. And that was such an encouragement to me and such a reminder that when Jesus has held me, I want to smell like he smells. I want that fragrance to come off on me. And you know, even at our luncheon, there would be things that maybe nobody else knows about. It was so good, and yet something happened that it just stunk. You know, it just, don't want to do that. But you know what? I was able to walk away and still have the fragrance of Christ afterwards. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we can do that. And in those times of trial, that we can carry on the fragrance of Christ as Mary did. She anointed him as... She anointed him unselfconsciously, which I already talked about it. Being an immoral woman would be the only one that would let her hair down. John tells us something else there that, well, it filled the whole house. And Mary of Bethany is another interesting point. Mary of Bethany. Remember when down here, when you went further, it says that let her alone in verse 7. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Somewhere along the line, Mary heard that. Mary heard that he was going to die. And she was anointing him for his burial. Nobody else heard that. The guys were busy about their stuff. And they didn't hear that. But Mary was anointing him for his burial. Mary of Bethany was not at the crucifixion. Mary of Bethany was not at the tomb because she had already done her work in anointing him for burial here on this particular day before he left for Jerusalem. And then we have, of course, we have, so she did that, but one of his disciples, verse 4, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, and now again, John's telling this from, this is how it happened, this is what these different things that happened. We know that Judas would be the one to betray him. He wants to know why this fragrant oil wasn't sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. And this he said, John says, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he was stealing from the money box. He was stealing from the ministry of Jesus. For some reason, when I say that out loud, inside my soul gets something that's just like, how do we do that? I mean, I don't understand stealing anyway. I really don't. When I was a kid, one time I stole a bag of candy, just a bag of candy, and I took it outside, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't even open it. I went back into the store and just laid it down and went out. I don't understand that. I don't understand that sort of thing, but to steal from Jesus, the one whom he's seen do so many miracles. I have to believe that Judas must not have believed that he was God. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I'll see Judas in heaven. I don't know. God, only God knows that. But here he was taking from it. And then Jesus said, let her alone. It's for you got the poor with you all the time. So just let her alone. And so we move on. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see the witness of what Jesus has done, Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests came also and plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Here he is. Some have come to see Jesus. Some have come for the miracles, the witness of the miracle, and some have come to bring him down. That will always be the case. It will always be the case. But I want to be that person that I want to come. I want to see Jesus. We're going to see over in here when the Greeks say, we would see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. That's all I want to do. I want to see him in my life. And the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, that which is to save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They expected he was coming in just like the Maccabees came in. When they came in and they had delivered them, they had brought them to freedom, and they laid down those palm branches, and they were so excited at the Maccabees coming in. And so they're saying, okay, this is the king. Jesus is the one who is going to set us free politically. And they missed. He's going to set us free spiritually. He's going to set us free that we might have eternal life. He'll set us free from our sins. And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written in Zechariah 9:9, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. When they sat on a donkey's colt, it meant that they were coming in peace. When a king came in riding on a horse, it meant that he was on his way to war. His kingship or whatever would be a place of warring. But when he came in on this donkey, it meant that he was coming in as a king of peace. And there were a number of scriptures. I can only remember the one that's so hard to say. Mephibosheth came in on a colt in the same way, came in peace. But there were a number of them that came in that way. He was also a donkey who had never been ridden before. That should say something to us. The one who created the donkey just sat on it, and it went wherever he needed it to go. Stubborn as a mule? I know a donkey's different than a mule, but it works here. Are we ever so stubborn that we won't go where God wants us to go, where Jesus tells us to go? Have we taken the time to listen and find out where he wants us to be? Or are we going to be a stubborn one? Or are we going to be one that goes, yeah, that's where I want to go. Wherever you're going, Jesus, that's where I want to go. Wherever you are, that's where I want to be. And his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. And therefore, and so even the disciples didn't recognize it at that particular point. But when Jesus is glorified, our eyes are open, just like the disciples. When we glorify Jesus in our lives, everything opens up to us. We understand more as long as we are glorifying him. As long as we are lifting him up and encouraging others to do the same. Therefore, verse 17, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness and told the story. And for this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. Now, I want you to get a picture of what's happening here. There's a group of people coming with Jesus from Bethany. There's a group of people coming out of Jerusalem to meet Jesus. And here they are, and they converge in here with these palm branches and everything, and must have been huge. It must have been a great number of people that were there singing, saying, save now, save now, recognizing that he was their king. For this reason, the people also met with him. And so verse 19, the Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Old buddies, the Pharisees, talking to each other. Do you see that you're not doing anything? Do you see that you're not doing anything? And they're pointing back at you. You're not doing anything either. Why? Because, look, the world has gone after him. And isn't this exactly what Jesus came to do in John 3:16? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so there that he was with the Pharisees saying, the whole world is believing in him. That's exactly what Jesus came to do. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Now, the Greeks were the epitome of worldliness. They had gods for everything. They wanted life to be fun. These Greeks were ones who had been won to Judaism's, that had joined into Judaism. And so they were the Greeks, and they worshiped at the feast. So there they were at the feast. And then they came to Philip. Why would they come to Philip? Why particularly Philip, I wonder? Perhaps it was because Philip is a Greek name. Maybe they were familiar with his name, and so they felt comfortable with talking to him. Maybe it was because he was from Bethsaida of Galilee. And they asked him, and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And we've already gone through that. Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Because we understand this Judaism thing. I think we understand this. But this guy is doing things that we don't understand, and we want to see him. And so what happens? Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. Okay, it's time. Remember before when he said, it's not my time yet, not my time yet. But now he's saying, now's the time. Now is the time. Most assuredly, I say to you, he's talking to, as far as I can see, he's talking to Philip and Andrew. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. The story that we all know, if you put a grain of wheat into the ground, you bury it, you put it in a tomb, if you will, then it bears fruit. But it can't bear fruit until it dies. My life cannot bear fruit until I allow myself to be put to death. My life cannot bear fruit if I'm only living for myself. This one must die. Not this physical outside, but this, so that I can worship the Lord. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Do I hate my life here? I don't hate my life here, but I don't live for myself here. If I will live for Jesus here and I will live for one another, love the one another's, I have that eternal life if I have accepted him as my Lord and Savior. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So gets right into the Trinity. I and my Father am one. Now my soul is troubled. So here we are. We're moving into the events that lay immediately before him. He was thinking of the cross. He's contemplating what is coming up next. And he asks, he's about to become the sin bearer and endure the wrath of God against him. Now my soul is troubled. Verse 27, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. This is why I'm here. You see, Jesus knew why he was here. He knew his purpose. I wonder, in my own life sometimes, I have to ask myself, what is my purpose here? Why am I here? Why am I in this place? Why is this situation going on? I have a purpose. Jesus knew what his purpose was. My purpose is to die to myself that Jesus might be seen through me. His purpose was to die physically on the cross, that he might resurrect, that he might give us eternal life, that he might be that Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world and then was raised up that we might have that eternal life. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered, and others said an angel had spoken to him. You see, these people were not used to hearing the voice of God. Remember at the mount, when they were in the wilderness and Abraham had to go up to the mountain to find out, or Moses had to go up and he had to find all the, you know, go up for the law and go up for all that. And the people said, Moses, you go ahead and you talk to God because we're afraid of him. They weren't used to the voice of God. And I wonder sometimes if that happens even in my own life. I get so busy and I get so much going on in my life. I get so much noise constantly going that I don't recognize God's voice when he speaks to me. I just think it's more noise and I miss it. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be one of those that said it must have been thunder. No, I want to hear the voice of God. But Jesus goes on to say, and that this voice didn't come because of me, but so that you could hear that this is the voice of God. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will in fact be cast out. And if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And here it goes on to say that he was speaking of the death that he would die, that he would be crucified. At this point, they're saying, whoa, wait a minute. This is not right. Wait a minute, you're going to set us free, aren't you? Wait, you're king. You're going to liberate, aren't you? What's going on here? I don't understand. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, verse 35, a little while longer, and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of life, of the light. He was speaking in the kind of like when the sun comes up in a day. You only have that sunlight for a length of time, and then the darkness comes upon you. He's telling us, don't dwell in the darkness. Dwell in the light. Because if we dwell in the darkness, it will overtake us, I guarantee you. If we dwell in the darkness, it will create in us a darkness that we struggle to get out of. He is the light of the world. In him is no darkness at all. So we follow after him. We walk with him while he can be found in our lives. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Wait a minute. We did palm branches to you. We knew that you were going to deliver us. We knew that this was going to happen. We knew that all this stuff was going to happen. Wait a minute. You're telling us you're going to die? Are you kidding me? I just started believing in you. What am I supposed to do? They stopped believing in him because it wasn't the way they expected it to be. And have you ever had anything in your life that just didn't work out the way you expected it to? Anyone else? I mean, one or two times in my life, I've had a few things not work out the way that I expected them to work out. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who have believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. We have to go back to Pharaoh and the hardened heart of Pharaoh. It says that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You recall the story, though. There were so many times when he gave him chances. He gave him chances to believe, but he would not believe. This is a case of I will not see, and then I go in that direction over and over and over again, and I get to the place where I can't see. It's when our hearts begin to get hardened and we say, I will not believe, and we get to a place where we cannot believe. God says, I'm going to let you go. In Romans, it talks about giving people over. If that's the direction that you want to go, you go ahead. The choice is still yours. The choice will always be yours. These things Isaiah said, verse 41, when he saw his glory and spoke of him, when he saw God's glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I will believe in Jesus, but I don't want to tell anybody about it because I don't want to lose my position. I don't want to lose this. I don't want to die to myself. I don't want to give up everything that I have. I want Jesus and, is what we're saying. I want Jesus and, but I want Jesus. I would see Jesus. Let me see Jesus. Let me live for Jesus. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, in my Father. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide, not live in darkness. You're going to have some dark times in your life. You're going to have some dark times in your life. This is the last time that we will see Jesus talking to the crowd. He will talk to his disciples after this time. He will talk to Pilate after this time. But this is the last that he will be talking to the crowds. This is their last chance, so to speak, to hear Jesus before he goes to the cross. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I don't judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. John 3:17, I came into the world, not that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who rejects me, verse 48, does not receive my words, has that which judges him. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. So my words have already judged him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, because he didn't believe. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And this is the question. Do we say the things that God tells us to say? Will we speak for Jesus in these last days? Because, ladies, we are in the last days, and not one of us knows how much longer we have. Not one of us knows if we have this afternoon. I don't know if I have this afternoon. I don't know if I'll be here at lunchtime. I don't know. I assume, but I need to live my life, and as we all need to live our life, like in the next second we're going. Because we're going out of this world one of two ways. Either the rapture is happening, yay, let's go, I'm ready. Grab the hands of those who don't believe. You want to believe, or do I let go? We want to walk with the Lord in such a way that we are anticipating that today he's coming. That's what gives us our hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I need to trust in him. I don't want to waste any time, because I don't know. Either I'm going out in the rapture, or this body is going to give up. And eventually, all these bodies were meant to give up. These bodies were not meant to last forever. And mine's letting me know a lot these days. I was not meant to live forever, so get over it. Spend a lot more time praying. The question is, today, what will we do with Jesus? At this particular point, Jesus has just finished speaking to the crowds. He's not going to be talking to them anymore before his crucifixion. He's asking, what will you do with me? Because if you have me, you have the Father. If you have me, you have the Father. You have me, you have the Holy Spirit. Later he'll say, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. So our question is, what will you do with Jesus today? And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have spoken your word, and it's been your word, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful, that you love us, Father, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that we don't stand alone, that we have your strength. Father, we don't ever want to be in a place where we refuse to believe. You said you would have drawn in Jerusalem, you would have drawn them in as a hen gathers her chickens, but they would not. They would not come, Lord. Don't ever help us to never be in that place where we will not be where you want us to be, Lord. We want to be close to you. And Father, I love these ladies, and I know that you love them even more. Lord, I pray that you would bless them today, Father, that you would open their hearts and their minds to more of you. Lord, let them see you in a new way today. And I pray, Father, for each one of these ladies, that they would receive a word directly from you today, and they would recognize that it's from you. And I just bless you, Lord, today. We love you. We honor you. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
Been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.